Milton wrote, "Gratitude bestows reverence, allowing us to encounter everyday epiphanies, those transcendent moments of awe that change forever how we experience life in the world." Many of my transcendent moments occurred at the dinner table. One of the things I will remember most about my life as a child was beginning every family meal with a blessing to God. Giving thanks for the food served before us always preceded that first forkful of food, which would allow our taste buds to catch up with the great smells on the table. This was usually a very good thing for me, unless there were Brussels sprouts on the menu. There they were, for some reason, on most special occasions in my mother's lovely serving bowl, topped with butter, glaring at me, daring me to pick up the spoon and put them on my plate. I clearly remember sitting there hoping it would not be my turn to pray, because it just wasn't fair to have to thank God for Brussels sprouts, of all things. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. But they're good for you, my mother would say. Think of all the starving children around the world who would be thankful to have the food you have. So you better clean your plate. That was Daddy's response. They can have my Brussels sprouts, I would quip, which resulted in a very stern look from both of them. Then there was my little sister, piping in at just the time I thought I was getting away with concealing that threatening little vegetable well under my mashed potatoes, who would say, "Mother, why is she putting her little cabbages under her mashed potatoes?" When I grow up, I promised myself, I will never eat Brussels sprouts or torture my children to eat them either. Sometimes, being grateful for what life serves us can be very difficult. How is your Thanksgiving? When life is going well, when life isn't going according to plan, when life serves you Brussels sprouts? That's the question for each of us as we prepare for our Thanksgiving Day, because there is something essential about giving thanks, even when times are difficult. After all, that's how this nation's first Thanksgiving began. I would like to share some stories with you this morning. The first comes from the Old Testament. It is the familiar story of Job. Job has come to represent for us the epitome of suffering. Near the end of the story, we see that all of his children have been killed in an accident. He is facing financial ruin. He has been stricken with illness. In fact, it seems if there is any person who is justified in saying, "Let's just skip Thanksgiving this year," it would be Job. Yet, in the midst of all of this immeasurable suffering, the voice of God comes to Job and says to him a very interesting statement. "Hear this, O Job. Stop and consider the wondrous works of God." From all outward circumstances, it seems as though Job has nothing at all to be thankful for. Yet here is God coming to him in the midst of all of this suffering and saying to him, "Job, it's time to count your blessings. When you become thankful, you see more and more how God is at work in your life. Give thanks in all circumstances." Let's leave that story for a moment and take a look at another. This one comes from the New Testament. the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul now finds himself squarely in the midst of a dingy Roman prison and facing some serious charges. Things seem very bad indeed for Paul, but this is only one of a series of mishaps that have occurred during his stormy ministry. He has been shipwrecked, beaten nearly to death, imprisoned, and many of his fellow Christians are openly opposing him. Now he faces what surely seems to be a death sentence. In the midst of this situation, Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus. Listen to what he says. Thanks be to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every blessing. The next story comes from our own American heritage. It is the story of the Pilgrims. I wish to paint quite a different scene, however, than the familiar painting that we envision of the Pilgrims happily dining with their Native American brothers and sisters before tables of food. The scene I would like to paint is one of deprivation, hardship, and suffering. The first Thanksgiving for the Pilgrims found over half of the 101 settlers dead and buried in unmarked graves for the fear that their hosts would realize just how weak they were. They were men and women without a country. Before them lay months more of famine and disease. Yet in the midst of all this hardship, they set aside a day to give thanks to God for all his blessings. Thanksgiving, if there is to be any at all, begins and ends with God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless God's holy name. From the biblical perspective, gratitude is expressed in thankful lives and not just thankful hearts. Too often we look upon gratitude as simply good manners. Rather, thanksgiving should become a lifestyle for us. We must understand that people who are truly thankful reflect it in their daily lives. On Thanksgiving Day in 1963, President John F. Kennedy said, "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live them." I think that Paul and Job and the Pilgrims understood Thanksgiving in terms of being thankful in something, while we often see it as in terms of being thankful for something. We see our gratitude through the lens of the things that we have. We are thankful for our house, for our job, for the food on our tables. And these are all important, and it is right that we should express our thanks. But what if, like Job, all these things vanished from our lives? In bounty or in want, our forefathers were thankful. In feast or in famine, they were thankful. In joy or in misery, they were thankful. Be thankful, says Paul, that the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and in gratitude with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. The very first person to reach the status of billionaire was a man who knew how to set goals and follow through. At the age of 23, he had become a millionaire. By the age of 50, a billionaire, obtaining the gravy of life with all the awesome, saucy goodness in the world. But 3 years later, at the age of 53, he became ill. Highly skilled physicians predicted he would die within the year. But he woke one morning with a vague remembrance of a dream. He could barely recall the dream, but knew it had something to do with not being able to take any of his successes with him into the next world. Calling his attorneys and accountants and managers, He announced that he wanted to give his assets to hospitals, research, and mission work. On that day, John D. Rockefeller established his foundation. This new direction eventually led to the discovery of penicillin, cures for the current strains of malaria, tuberculosis, and diphtheria. The list of discoveries resulting from his decision is enormous. But perhaps the most amazing part of Rockefeller's story is that the moment he began to give back a portion of that he had earned, his body chemistry was altered so significantly that he got better. John Rockefeller lived to be 98 years old. Rockefeller learned gratitude, and it made him whole. Paul wrote to the new Christians from a prison cell, and probably knowing that he would soon die, he wrote these words: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful." Perhaps even Daniel Defoe gave us some good advice through his fictitious story of Robinson Crusoe. The first thing that Crusoe did when he found himself on a deserted island was to make out a list. On one side of the list, he wrote down all of his problems. On the other side, he wrote all of his blessings. On one side, he wrote, "I do not have any clothes." On the other side, he wrote, "I don't need any clothes." On one side, he wrote, "All of the provisions were lost." On the other side, he wrote, "But there's plenty of fresh fruit and water on the island." And on down the list he went. In this fashion, he discovered that for every negative aspect about his situation, there was a positive aspect, something to be thankful for. It is easy to find ourselves on the island of busyness or despair. Perhaps it is time to sit down and take an inventory of our blessings. I well imagine that there may be some of us here this morning that are long, long overdue in expressing our thanks to God. Someone wrote, "If the only prayer you said in your whole life was, 'Thank you,' that would suffice." So whether you are as happy as the turkey, which will make it to the day after Thanksgiving, or if your life seems to parallel old Job's, remember the goodness of God and be thankful for the gravy as well as the Brussels sprouts. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you, and thanks be to God. Amen.